Ole Miss beat him up last week. 9 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. I mean, we could go on and on. And if you don't think that this Tennessee defensive line is good, just ask around the SEC. Kirby's talked about it all week. Their edge rushers, James Pierce, 5.5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, Joshua Josephs, they have guys up front that can get it done. And I just think this is going to come down to whether or not the O-line can get them blocked. And then on the opposite side, Mike, can you stop one of the most dynamic running backs in the SEC and certainly in the country for the Tennessee Vols?
You know, that's the thing. We talked about it earlier, and it's just – it's very frustrating for dog fans. By the way, everybody, first things first, they're frustrated about the way the rankings came out. Well, then do something about it. You know, you beat Tennessee, then all that stuff goes away. Everyone saw these projections of, oh, Tennessee would get Notre Dame, but relax. Just beat Tennessee, you'll be fine. Now, beating Tennessee, therein lies the rub because, yes, they're really good running the football. And the way Georgia's linebackers looked against Ole Miss, and more of that was in pass coverage, you know, than it was as far as the run game. But you're right. I mean, we thought that, if we're honest, you mentioned Sampson, who's been unbelievable, you know, with 1,100 yards for Dylan Sampson. That's what we thought ETN was going to be. And ETN's not even going to play in this game. So Georgia not having the star depth at running back. And that's why I said earlier, I know it's kind of crazy, and I'm not trying to be a provocateur, but you may have to rely on Carson Beck slinging that Jesse around on Saturday night.
He might have to. Dogs beat Tennessee last year 38-10, but that was last year. And, you know, going into this game, I do not expect the score to look like anything like that. Now, if it does, great. Again, that means good things have happened. That means probably you got, you know, a block kick or a pick six or something crazy, Mike, and you were able to expand on the lead. But I don't see that with the way this team has been playing. So, to me, that's what this comes down to. And Josh Heupel's going to have his guys ready. The whole thing right now is whether or not E.O. Maliava is going to play on Saturday night. He is questionable, but the bottom line is I still think he's going to end up playing because of the magnitude of this game. And the Vols defense have yet to allow 20 points in a game. So are you telling me the Dogs are going to score 30 in a game where this defense hasn't allowed 20 in a game?
No, I'm with you. Look, we never bet against the home team on this show, and believe me, I need winners because I'm stinking it up the last 2 weeks. But I really like Tennessee getting the 10. You know, or 10.5, depending on your book. But, I mean, I do think it's going to come down to a field goal. It's going to be less than 10 for sure.
I think so, too. 404-726-0929 as we continue to talk about Georgia. By the way, they scored 10 points, speaking of 10 last week. That was the lowest output put since week one of 2021. So you got to go back a few years since the last time Georgia's offense was held to 10 points. I don't think that'll be the case this week, but again, if you score over 20, then you're probably winning this game. And that's because this defense has been stingy in the red zone.
But you feel that when you look at this game and you say, does Kirby come in there and go to Bobo and say, look, you know, we're gonna ride or die with Carson Beck? You asked the question earlier, what if Carson Beck stinks it up? You know, 10 touchdown passes, 12 interceptions in SEC play. You know, when he doesn't throw a pick, they're 4-0. We get it. But it's just, to me, with the run, unless Frazier's really going to light it up and Frazier's going to shake off. You think Frazier was carrying the football all around campus today, like the program?
He should have been. He should have been. I mean, Nate Frazier is going to be the main workhorse. He's second on the team right now, 333 yards. He does have, you know, 3 touchdowns on the ground. But the crazy thing about this is Nate Frazier, with all due respect, was not supposed to be the workhorse. This was supposed to be a tandem of guys, Mike, whether it was both Robinsons who were hurt, along with ETN, along with Frazier. This whole thing about running back you, it hasn't been that way for a few years now. It just hasn't. And the Dogs have not dominated the run game the way that I expected them to. And so for Frazier, yeah, this is a big, you know, he's got a big opportunity here, and I'm sure he's going to take advantage of it. And, Mike, he may shock us. He may run for a buck 50, 2 touchdowns, and everybody's going, whoa, look at how well they blocked these guys up. But I also want you to remember, they had a slew of guys in this running back room that we were all like, wow, look at this room. It's going to be crazy. They can go, you know, big guys, small guys, quick guys. All that's gone out of the window with injuries.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of folks earlier in the season were thinking about, you know, what's going to be up with Nico Iamaleava, and is he going to play, Carl? I mean, the concussion thing, that's where, you know, he's not going to be. Now, will Heupel have the confidence to let him go and throw that thing around? Because after everything that they started with, they really did dial back their offense. Matter of fact, I heard Roddy Nabalsi on earlier today with Andy Randy saying, you know, their offense is rather pedestrian compared to what we were used to seeing with Josh Heupel. So maybe the under is the play in this one as well. You know, Georgia needs to get something cooking. early. Get the lead, get the pressure on. Because tonight, we said it's a night game. Things have been going bananas. Last time Tennessee came down here, they were number one. Remember how that ended? Georgia had total, basically control of that game the whole way through.
404-726-0929. What do you guys think? We've been asking you today, and we had some great phone calls to start the show. It's really interesting because I think dog fans, and you have a right to be. I mean, you're just a little reserved right now. You don't have your chest out like we have had in years past. It's facts. You're not walking around that way because you've seen just what everybody else has seen. But I think for Kirby Smart, these challenges, he's unique in these situations. He's unique, man. And you know, the whole Texas thing showed you again. If there's a game that he can get his guys up for and ready to play and they execute, it's situations like this, Mike. And one of our callers said, I think the Dogs should go into this, you know, thinking that, that they're the underdog. Well, guess what? A lot of people think they are,
right?
Even at home.
Well, I mean, playing loose, easier said than done. Dog Nation, in their article about the game, previewing it, I didn't realize, interesting factoid, Tennessee has not been on the road since October 5th. They basically, the way the SEC, the quirk of the schedule, they've had like the last four games at home at Neyland Stadium. So, night game, Athens. I know Kirby said it needs the crowd to be elite. You really need the crowd to get up tonight. I mean, Saturday night. I don't think that'll be a problem, you know, because you'd be tailgating all day. But this is one where you really do need it. I mean, it's that we shouldn't have to tell people, but I do think Georgia fans, remember they got in their bag every time Kirby calls him out? Or somebody like a couple years ago, somebody on, Tennessee was calling him out. Because it's never really that, it's never been a sustained intimidation. You can make some noise, but can you sustain that noise level call for four quarters? That's the question for dog fans.
Yeah. I want to see that happen on Saturday. A couple of former Tennessee players were talking about, you know, the last time they played at Georgia because they were challenged was intimidating. Simply, they couldn't hear the snap call. You know, there were things going on that affected the game. You need that. That's what the SEC is about. You need that environment.
Hey, you know, you and I spent a lot of time this week talking about the wide receivers. Yesterday, we were talking about could the tight ends be a bigger factor based on the usage rate? Probably not. Although Lawson Lucky does have a bunch of scores, three touchdowns. You know, you look at what we thought you were getting with Arian. Can Arian Smith finally have a big statement game? He did have. Remember in the loss to Alabama, Carl, 132 yards on six catches. You know, explosive plays. That's what Carson Beck needs. You need these guys, Dylan Bell, to step up. The receivers, number one, catch the ball. The yards after the catch. Because if ever there was a big disappointment for this team, the injuries, I'm not saying you give them a pass, but the injuries in the offensive line and guys having to move around, that's part of the problem. But the biggest, to me, disappointment is the skill position players for Georgia this year.
I don't trust anybody in this receiving room. How could I? I've seen too many drops, and I've seen too many opportunities go by the wayside. Mike, I don't trust them in it. This is why I'm having a hard time with the Beck conversation. I went back and looked at some of these throws that he's made in three different games, and he has dropped balls in the Alabama game early, in the breadbasket of some of these receivers. Texas, he did it early. Right. They dropped balls. And I went back and looked at all of this, and I'm going, I know the numbers don't reflect it because at the end of the game, you still go, all right, he went, you know, 13 for whatever, and he only threw 450 yards. But there are at least five or six a game that he has put the ball on the money, and these guys have not made plays. I don't trust anybody in this receiving room. I'm sorry.
So who's going to step up? Because you're right. When you look at the touchdowns and around the league, you know, I know that Georgia fans get upset. Ryan Williams got seven touchdowns for Alabama. Granted, the teams did try to take him away at times, but yeah, Alabama coming off a big win. That's why, you know, everyone's focused on Georgia fans being so upset. You know, what happens if Alabama doesn't make the college football playoff in the first year of Kalen DeBoer?
Well, see, but here's the deal. Even though they'll be PO'd, he's going to get a break because it is his first year. Kirby's not going to get that break. Kirby has built a giant machine, and if it's not rolling into the playoffs, something is wrong. I'm not telling you by any stretch of the imagination, and it's even dumb to say this. He's not going to be in a hot seat. No, he's not going anywhere. Kirby's going to be here until he's ready to leave. But the fact is, the expectation for Kirby versus Kalen DeBoer at this point in his career at Alabama are two different things. People will be PO'd. Alabama fans will be Alabama fans. Right. But they'll also say, Mike, it's his first year, and we can deal with that.
You know, granted, they did lose to Vanderbilt, to Oren's point in my ear. Texas, by the way, there's an interesting little factoid. I saw this today, and it's out there about, you know, Georgia's schedule is obviously a meat grinder. The last time a SEC champion only had two ranked opponents on the schedule, it was like Tulane when Tulane was still in the SEC.
It's going back, yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. Look, I mean, it just, the quirk of the schedule, nobody else is ranked except for A&M. Now, again, they could beat A&M, that would make it three. But I do think that, and that game's going to be huge, man. That's one that A&M's still smarting, the physicality of it. By the way, as a guy who played with the Longhorns, it was a, are you worried about that A&M game at the end of the year?
Always. First of all, we hadn't seen these guys in 10 years, whatever it's been.
Right.
Since they got mad and took their ball and ran home. I said it. And so, yeah, you're always worried about this. This is just like any other rivalry game. And it comes at a time where you can't lose. This doesn't happen in September where you go, all right, it's early in the season. You lose that game, the committee looks at you completely different.